is October the 29th of 2001. This is Dr. Jorge Ibed from the Department of History of Texas Tech, and I am interviewing Coach Raymundo Ramos. Coach, before we get started with some of the questions, just for our records, would you be so kind as to give me your place of birth and date of birth?
I was born in Benavides, Texas, October the 8th, 1933.
And tell me a little bit about your parents. What were their names, what occupations, and where were they born?
My father came from Realitos, Texas, a little community 15 miles west of Benavides.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Raymundo Ramos. Also, I'm Raymundo Humberto Ramos. And my mother, she was born here in Benavides, Guadalupe Garcia Ramos.
Are either of your parents still alive?
No, my father was born in 1910 and my mother in 1909. They're both deceased.
What type of work did your dad do?
My father sort of had a rough time. He got out of school around the sixth grade and worked part-time for a lumber yard here in Benavides.
Mm-hmm.
Then he opened up his own lumber yard called Ramos. Well, his father did. My grandfather opened up the Ramos Lumber Company, which was a hardware store and a lumber yard. And finally, my father took over the business when my grandfather passed away. During World War II, the business collapsed, so he went to work as a welder making army tanks in Detroit, Michigan.
Wow. And the family stayed in Benavides?
Yes, my mother and my brother and I stayed in Benavides. My father came back after World War II and opened an auto supply store, and business wasn't too good. Then Benavides started going down. Population started going down. Oil business in Benavides went down. So did my father, and he died with cancer almost jobless at the age of 44.
Oh, my. How many brothers or sisters do you have?
Just one brother. He lives in Houston. He's 66-year-old. I'm 68, so we were school together most of the time.
Did both of you graduate from high school?
Yes. I graduated in 1952, and my brother graduated in 1955.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to go to, for a Mexican-American young man to go to school in the schools in Benavides. Were you separated from the Anglo kids? Were you all mixed together? Tell me a little bit about your school.
During my school time, which was from 1940 to 1952, there was a lot of Anglo here in Benavides. I would say a good 35% were Anglo in school and in the community. We got along real well. We dated each other and we played with each other. There was not too much antisocial as far as the Anglo were concerned. Maybe their parents might have had a little bit, but not many of them. So we didn't really see it. Once in a while you'd see problems, but normally we got along real well, and we went to school together. We joked with each other, and we played athletics together, and we didn't really see it here in Benavides. Actually, the Latin people had the majority, and I guess they got used to that. We didn't grow up with any resentment as far as that kind of problem is concerned.
Okay, tell me a little bit about how you got interested in football. Was it your dad that got you interested, or was it someone else?
I think growing up in an area when Coach Lerma was here, he built up football to a level that was recognized by everybody real well in South Texas and a good part of the state, because he was a winner, and we were the whole community was behind football, but actually I wasn't. My interest in sports came through my basketball coach.
Oh, and who was that?
That was Gordon Ross.
Okay.
He was a tremendous man, and he was a tremendous coach. He actually should have been a college coach, but he stayed here in Benavides, and we became winners. Basketball was not much of a game in Benavides until Mr. Ross came in 1948.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your recollections of Coach Lerma during your years at Benavides High.
Well, those were my school years here, and you heard the word Lerma all over town from your parents and uncles and older kids, and you looked into the future hoping that you would be a part of Mr. Lerma, part of his team, and that's how we became involved. And of course we were playing bigger schools, and we were winning. We were beating schools like Alice and Laredo and Mission, and going to the playoffs.
Literally every year.
Almost every year, yes. Just about every year for many years in a row. Yes. Finally, he left in May of '55, and then our glory days, as far as football is concerned, were few and in between after he left.
Well, let me ask you a couple of things about the teams that you played on at Benavides. Were the teams, and you've alluded to this already a little bit, were the teams mostly Mexicano, or was it a mix of Mexicano and Anglo kids? And how did you get along?
We got along real well, real well. There was mostly Mexicano, but there was a good representation of the Anglo, and there were good players, and together they worked real well. I didn't see anything like I tell you that could have divided us into two different groups. Coach Lerma was the type of fellow that could bring anybody together. He was religious and good with the teachers and good with all the people. All the Anglos and everybody were ready to back him up with whatever he needed, money for barbecues and places where he could enjoy the success and celebrate the victories and things like that.
Now, when the Benavides High School football team was playing, if you looked in the stands, you had Mexicanos and Americanos, everyone mixed together in the stands, or did people sort of separate themselves out?
No, they. If you look up the stands, you saw them together. I'm sure that after the game, they might have gone to their different homes to talk about the game. But as a whole, the mixture was there.
Okay. Where did you go to school, to college, and what did you major in?
I went to school in Kingsville. At that time, it was called Texas A&I.
Right.
University, and I majored in physical education and mathematics, and graduated in '55, and came back in 1955 in September. That's when Lerma was his first year in Rio Grande. So I missed working under him and learning from him, which would have been a great experience, but I missed that.
It's a shame that he left. Now, I've heard a couple of versions of the story of why he left. What did you hear about why Coach Lerma left to go to Rio Grande City?
That's when I was in college, and I didn't really get down to the root of the problem. he might have been dissatisfied with something. I don't really know, but there might have been also a chance to move up to a bigger school.
Okay.
I'm not real sure.
Okay. You know what? I forgot to ask you something about your high school and your college. Did you play football at A&I as well?
No. I played very little football. I was small in size. I was Coach Lerma's football manager for freshman and sophomore year.
Okay.
Then I was a substitute his, my junior and senior year in football.
Okay.
But I wanted to be part of it, so that's how I became part of it.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your coaching career. If you started at Benavides in 55, did you coach other things besides football? You know, tell me a little bit about that.
In a small school, you got to be available for everything. So I started in 55 in junior high, and football and basketball. Then my second year, I was promoted to junior varsity football in high school, which I stayed there junior varsity level throughout my high school career. Mm-hmm. In basketball, I stayed in junior high and winning the championship just about every year. And in 1965, our great coach, Mr. Ross, was promoted to superintendent. And he promoted me from junior high to his assistant. And the following year, I became the head coach in 66 in high school basketball, which I kept until 1980.
Okay.
In 1980, I retired from coaching and just kept teaching until 1993.
Wow, so you retired just recently, huh?
I retired in 93, and they couldn't find a math teacher, so I helped them part-time till 1998. So actually, 1998 was my last year of involvement in as far as teaching. So I'm now enjoying my retirement.
Good.
My grandkids.
Well, let me ask you a couple of other things about your coaching career. It seems to me that you never coached any place else other than Benavides. Is that correct?
No. And there were times when I had to help with track, and a couple of years I even had golf.
Okay.
So,
mostly basketball.
My importance to the school was in basketball.
Okay. Let me ask you something about your career or when you were in school and actually as you go through your coaching career. Did the majority of the young men who played either football for Lerma or basketball for you, did those young men tend to go on to college and tend to graduate from college?
It's hard to say as far as the players themselves, but percentage-wise, the School of Benavides has been very successful in our graduates going on to school. I would say that a good writer recently, about 65% would go on to college, and we got our ex-students teaching all over the area, and administrators and coaches, and people sort of see Benavides as a fitting school for higher education. We were proud of our kids. Our Latin kids have done well. So our Anglo population now is down to maybe 5%.
Yeah.
It's down, but we're very proud of our new school. Our kids have done well, and we.
You realize how unusual that is, especially during the 50s and 60s, when you know so few Mexican American kids graduated from high school.
Yes, at that time, I think our percentage going to college was maybe 20%. But it nothing compared with what has happened during the past 15 years.
Right.
But the 50s and 60s, most of our boys, they went into the service and tried to better themselves through benefits they would get as a serviceman. And then some of them would come back and go to school after the service.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about some of the players. You said that you might be able to get me some names and get me some phone numbers and addresses.
I mailed you a package last Thursday.
Okay.
A brown envelope. And
okay.
I gave you the names of some people that are closer or know the whereabouts of our exes. I gave you the name of Benito Sandejar in the envelope that I mailed you.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our people have moved to Corpus. And in Corpus Christi, this man, Benito Sandejar, can give you some good information about the guys that were real close to Mr. Lerma and real successful under him and very grateful to have had him in their lives. So you want to be sure and talk to Homero Garcia, which I'm putting the letter down there, and Benito can give you his phone number.
Excellent.
And another guy, Guadalupe Rodriguez. Homero played college ball at Kingsville, and Wale Rodriguez he played professional baseball for the Cleveland Indians organization or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave you the name of Ramiro Carrillo, and I gave you his phone number there in the envelope. And Ramiro played for the only team that has gone to state in basketball way in the early 40s.
Wow, great.
So, and I sent you some pictures. Mr. Lerma was also served, you probably know, a superintendent here. And
right.
An assistant principal, and he was responsible for starting the Knights of Columbus here in Benavides, and he was a strong Rotarian. So all of that, he was very helpful to the community.
Excellent. Let me just, now that you bring up the year that Lerma served as a superintendent of schools, what do you remember about that year? What was the problem the reason that he left after only 1 year?
That was the year where confusion was the word for Benavides. He came in at a very difficult time. There were two political groups equally strong, and somehow or other the school got very involved politically, and we ended up having two school boards, one recognized by the state and one recognized by the county, and it was a very difficult situation at that time.
Now this was shortly after the death of Mr. Parr, right?
Right. I think so.
I think he died like in what, 75 or something like that, 74, 75.
George Parr. Yeah, I'm not real sure, but probably around that time. There are books on it. I could mail you that date, but I don't really remember. It was difficult for Mr. Lerma coming in here with a school divided, where a few still didn't recognize him as the one appointed for superintendent, and it became a difficult thing. I was hoping that he wanted to stay here in Benavides and build his home and retire the rest of the years here, but things didn't work out, and the opposition paid him off and sent him on his way. It was a hard time for teachers and everybody here in Benavides at that time.
Well, tell me also now a little bit about your recollections of the issues and concerns and the problems surrounding the naming of the stadium for Coach Lerma, because I've been told that there was some problems about that as well.
I was the chairman for Mr. Lerma's program here, and superintendent told me, whatever you do, you have all the rights. So I handle the program, and I kept it out of everybody's hand. I was the only one involved, and I'm very grateful for the superintendent and the school board at that time that didn't get in my way.
Good.
I arranged the luncheon. I arranged the presentation. I selected the award that we gave him. and I selected the speakers for that night, and they gave me the whole thing, because I told them this could become a political thing, and if that's the way, if I don't have full control, I don't want it. So I think everything came out real good.
Who were some of the speakers at the dedication ceremony?
One of them was Celso Gonzalez, who passed away. He was one of his good players, and then during the war he coached here without a degree because there was a shortage of people. And
isn't Celso Gonzalez the uncle of Homer Rivera?
I think so.
Yeah, because I've been in touch with Homer, and he's gonna start doing some interviews for me down in that area as well. So I'm glad you mentioned him. Do you remember anything about Celso Gonzalez's career that you could share with me?
He was way back. He coached here in the. In the 40s, late 40s, I guess. He was a very good man, very religious. He was the one that presented the trophy that night at the football game halftime. The assembly program, I was the only one that spoke, recollecting the life of Mr. Lerma.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the luncheon, I invited all his ex-players and spouses to. It was an informal type of thing. There was no speeches, no nothing. Just a little prayer, and then everybody reminiscing, and we kept it to a low key, that particular thing, because the luncheon I didn't want it to get too big for expenses wise and for anybody to take advantage of the situation. But it worked out real well. We had one person that complained, and I wrote a letter to him, and he wrote back telling me that I was correct and that he apologized for something like that.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of other things that I just thought of as you were going through this. Is the Knight of Columbus Council that Coach Lerma started in Benavides still active?
No, it's dead right now. No, it stayed active for a while, and then.
You wouldn't happen to remember the number of that council, would you?
I sure don't.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I just remember I was young then. I remember there was when it got started here, and I remember that he was one of the main ones. And
so that must have been like in the 40s.
Yeah, late 40s, I guess. Early 50s. I'm not real sure. I was a young student then and didn't pay too much attention to those to those things.
How about the Rotary Club? Is that still active?
No, the Rotary Club also faded. The only club now left is Alliance, which I'm a member of.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's so sad. I remember I was down in Benavides over the summer, and I drove around a little bit, and it really is sad to see basically the town is dying.
Yes, it is. It's dying. In fact, Saturday night is the saddest day of the week. Saturday, everybody leaves town to get their essentials, and Saturday is it used to be when Coach Lerma was here. It used to be the peppiest day of the week. Everybody would come into town, and we had two or three drug stores. We had two or three big grocery stores, four or five big restaurants, and now we're down to almost nothing.
Well, the thing that I that I've been told is that once the oil company started leaving, was that really the beginning of the downturn for?
Yeah, the oil companies closed up, and that's when we lost the majority of good paying jobs. And of course, all the Anglos were in charge of that, and they all left. So that's why the school went down from maybe 30-35% Anglo to what we have now, maybe one or two Anglos in each class. So,
yeah. When did the oil oil companies start leaving. Do you remember?
I was coaching here already, so I got started in 55, so probably in the late 50s, I guess, the oil companies started one by one closing their, I don't know if you call it production. Or,
now, what was the reason they were leaving? There was just no more oil, or they just decided to that it wasn't profitable enough, or what?
No, the companies changed their method of handling the oil, so it was all instead of refining it here, it is now all sent to Corpus Christi through either pipeline or to trucks.
Okay.
But there's still oil here. Maybe not as much, but there's still.
Are there still a few rigs out there, getting the oil out, or is that pretty much gone too?
No, there's still a few. Natural gas. There's also a few rigs. There doesn't seem to be as many, but there's still some. There's still drilling. The business is not here. They just come and drill and connect the pipeline all the way to Corpus or send a truck to pick up the production.
What keeps you in Benavides, considering that so many folks have moved on to Corpus or to other places?
My job was here, and I retired here, and my kids, I have three, they all left Benavides, two are working in Corpus, and one is working in Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just no jobs here. We get of our 35 or 40 seniors, 99% had to leave to make a living.
Yeah.
The only jobs here that the only people that really make a decent salary here
are the county employees,
or the teachers.
Ah.
The only the teachers. There's some people still make it as roughnecks. Their salary is fairly well. No, county employees. The common employee is probably making just very little above the minimum.
Okay.
But the teacher is the one, and the roughnecks, their salaries have gone up to close to $14 an hour, so they're still do fairly well.
That's not bad. Well, Coach, let me just ask you, one last question, sort of as a catch-all, and I'm very proud of myself that we're right at almost a half hour. Is there anything about your career or about your recollections of Coach Lerma or anything about life in Benavides that I haven't asked you about that you think would be important to talk about?
I think we touched all. All I can say is that when Coach Lerma was here, I can remember the town was real peppy and the teachers were all enjoyed their work, and there was a lot of togetherness and life in Benavides was a real jolly.
Yeah.
After that, mostly because of the oil situation, it is mostly good for a retirement place. Any young people that stays here, he's got to travel out of town every morning to find work, you know. But it has changed. We hate to admit it, and we hate to say that Benavides is fading away, but our population when Coach Lerma was here was probably around 4,000. Right now, the latest population count was a little over 1,600.
Yeah.
So you can see what's happening. When I was coaching high school, enrollment was around 300. Now the latest, we had 144 kids in high school.
Wow.
So you can see.
And 90% of those kids, like you said, are going to have to leave and to go someplace else to find a job.
Oh, yes. Definitely 90 or more. There's the ranching life. A lot of kids could move on to ranching now that ranching life is gone. There's no future for many people in ranching, and of course there's no industry here whatsoever.
Yeah.
So they gotta leave. Yeah, they gotta go.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for your time, and possibly somewhere down the line, if as I go through some of my records and I keep working on this biography of Coach Ledma, I may have to call you back just to clarify a few things. But I really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Okay, sir. And
I look forward to getting that package from you.
Yes, I mailed it Thursday. It's a big brown envelope, I guess, where you put the letters 8x10.
Okay.
So I sent some pictures of my annuals, trying to give you a little all-around picture of Mr. Lermon.
Thank you very, very much, sir.
Okay, sir.
You have a very good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.